SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Oh yeah, level three has begun. Quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio. What a wild day today. Like, the Antonio Brown stuff sort of overshadowed everything else that went on in the National Football League, including there's a lot of other crazy stuff. So I am Morenci. Let's do this thing. Ian Cameron, AK Baban will rejoin us in a couple of moments. We got a lot of stuff to get to. We will talk some college football as well. I'll give you my thoughts on a Michigan debacle against Georgia a little bit later on. But what flew under the radar today, and we didn't get to this yet, is that Jalen Ramsey actually punched a teammate today on the field. You know, that kind of flew under the radar. And there's not, like, video of it. There's still shots. There's photos of it. But nobody has the video. I'm sure eventually there'll be some sort of angle. Someone will pop it up somewhere. But, yeah, he punched Taylor Rapp in the head, in the helmet, right? In the huddle. In the huddle. And like I said, that story's kind of flown under the radar right there. Normally that would be a big story. But whatever, Antonio Brown melted down and walked off the field today. So that's taken center stage. Not to mention Jalen Hurts nearly got killed at the end of the game today by a bunch of Eagle fans. So, like, Jalen Hurts, after the win, Jalen Hurts is walking off the field, and he goes into the tunnel, except there's a bunch of Eagle fans there, and they're all, like, cheering and stuff, and they're leaning over the railing. They're leaning over the stands. And Hurts sort of, like, you know, high fives them as walking past them and stuff, except they all fell. The stands, the railing collapsed in the stadium in Washington. What a shock, huh? The same stadium that, like, has raw sewage and you know, like, leaking toilets falling on fans' heads. The stadium is a menace, all right? That stadium is a menace to society. That organization, like, whatever. We can go on and on. So it's just fitting, of course, you know, you see the only place it's ever happened is there. But listen, I'm not really going to blame the stadium. You got a bunch of drunk Eagle fans, and there were a lot of them. And they just, man, they tumbled like hard. Boom! They fell down. They fell down. Hurts, like, sort of dodged them and stuff. They nearly fell on Hurts. And then after, Hurts was cool. Like, Hurts helped them up after and stuff and started taking selfies with them. And it was causing a security breach because then a bunch of, like, fans were on the field slash in the tunnel. And then, the security was like, whoa, whoa. And they grabbed Hurts, and they're trying to pull him away. And they're trying to get rid of all the fans and stuff. It was a little bit of a scene. It was a little bit of a scene. So, crazy stuff. And kind of lost in all this, too, was, you know, the fact that the Jets actually nearly beat the Buccaneers today. They covered the number. But if you're the Jets, that's the best possible scenario. You want to get a higher pick, and you want to play well down the stretch, and they did. They played well, and they ended up losing the game. So I think if you're the Jets, it actually worked. If you're a Jet fan, it worked out for you pretty good today. Your team, you covered the point spread. You didn't screw up the draft pick, and you saw Antonio Brown's complete meltdown. Now, the question is, what happens to Antonio Brown moving forward from here? I doubt he ever plays in the NFL, except, I don't know. GMs are insane, so who knows? The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pips, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. It's level three, and it was a wild day today in the National Football League, wasn't it? As Tom Brady leads the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to victory late. The Jets get the cover, but of course the story of the day in the National Football League today was Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown has overshadowed everything, including Jalen Ramsey punching Taylor Rapp today. Jalen Ramsey punched a teammate, and that story is just kind of, you know, it's one of those stories that people didn't really realize it. I don't think, like, people really knew. Yeah, until, like, sort of, like, after when, you know, it's like, what? He did what? Like, it wasn't really seen, right? It wasn't really seen, but it happened. There's pictures of it, and it happened. So, yeah, you know, it's just one of those deals. We saw it, you know, we saw last week with the Washington football team in which there was punches thrown on the sideline. You know, you see it. It's late in the season right now. Emotions are running high. even teams that are going to the playoffs are under a lot of pressure right now, and everybody's on edge. So, you know, it is what it is, and it's not the end of the world. Like I said, that's the whole thing with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown could have just melted down on the sidelines, right? Like, he literally could have thrown his helmet. He could have even taken off his shoulder pads and his jersey and everything and thrown them and just sort of sat down for a minute and then picked them up, right? But no, he had to go the distance and actually walk off the field. Mike Evans really tried to stop him. O.J. Howard did as well. There's another angle. O.J. Howard tried, but Evans really, like, stopped him and, like, tried to, like, reason with him and whatever, man. A.B. was going to be A.B. and do his thing. I can't believe A.B.'s, like, filming, like, you know, he's popping in Ubers after the fact. He literally got left behind by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Buccaneers can talk about all they want. Oh, we're going to help him, and he's still a family member, as Brady was saying. Yeah, as if you just left his ass at MetLife Stadium. And I'll tell you what, as somebody whose ass has been left at MetLife Stadium a lot of times over the years, it's not easy getting an Uber out of there, all right? I'm telling you right now, it's not easy. Like, I bet you AB was standing there for like 45 minutes getting pissed off waiting for this Uber to show up. That's just great that he took an Uber out there. I'm telling you, you know how hard it is to get out of that stadium? Risen from the ashes to make what you got. There are no Ubers. You got to wait hours. Put it this way, AB had a bad day, all right? Like, after. Like, that. You know how much it must have pissed him off just getting back to his hotel after? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Maximum Cross continues. This is Sports Rage, Sirius XM Channel 159, the Mightier 1090, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're breaking it down with Babano right now. So, Babano, we were talking about the futures right now. AFC Conference Championship odds. Kansas City are plus 200 despite losing to Cincinnati today. Buffalo plus 370. Tennessee plus 450. New England plus 750. Indianapolis 9-1. And as we were saying, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase and company not getting any respect still at plus 950 just to win the AFC. And even if they don't win the AFC, if they win a couple of games, you're putting yourself in a nice hedge situation. This isn't even Super Bowl odds. They're 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. Plus 950, Babano. The Bengals could seriously make it to the AFC Conference Championship game this year. That wouldn't shock me at all. And then you got yourself a nice hedge. I think it's a nice number with the Bengals at plus 950.
Yeah, like I said just before break, I think Cincinnati's best game can beat anybody in the AFC. Now, whether we see it on a given day remains to be seen, but it's good enough to beat anybody. It just beat Kansas City, who looked unstoppable, you know, for several weeks in a row going into this game today. The chemistry that Joe Burrow's got with Ja'Marr Chase is ridiculous. And when it comes to Chase, it's not just the speed. It's not just the acceleration. It's not just the route running or the ability to make big catches. It's his ability to adjust to the football in the air. I mean, his ability to adjust and turn and locate the football, his ball skills, they're off the charts good, especially after what I saw today. No wonder he's making catches. He's just coming to a direct stop, locating the football, waiting for it to arrive, and that's why the cornerback is turned around like a pretzel, and there's Ja'Marr Chase making the catch because he's locating the football, and he's just has that innate ability to find the ball in the air, find it, have his eyes on it and make the catch and come down with it. It's incredible to watch this guy play right now, especially in the game against Kansas City. If they can get their defense to keep improving, and they made some big stops when they had to against Kansas City, the Bengals, there's no AFC team that you can say that for sure they're going to roll their way through the playoffs unscathed. Every team has got that opportunity, and Cincinnati right now certainly does in my mind.
Oh, I agree. I think the four biggest contenders, Kansas City, you're dangerous. Buffalo are dangerous, Tennessee are dangerous, and Cincinnati. And we can't really discount Indianapolis, but at the same point in time, deep down inside, you really believe Carson Wentz is like leading this team to a Super Bowl, you know what I mean? I don't. You know, like there's only, Jonathan Taylor can only do so much by himself, Babano. And yeah. I don't trust, I'm not saying they can't win a game, I'm not saying, you know what I mean? You know, Taylor isn't a load to deal with, especially, and they have had injuries. So we'll give them that. You talked about it too, man. I mean, Carson Wentz didn't practice all week due to the COVID stuff. But that's another thing, too. Yeah, you played, but you weren't sharp and you weren't crisp because you didn't practice.
And I'll give you one, Gabe, very specific reason why I would have a little more faith right now in Cincy than Indianapolis in the playoffs. I have that belief in confidence in Joe Burrow. When the lights are the brightest and the spotlight is its greatest and the games are the biggest, he's going to rise to it and play well. Carson Wentz, on the other hand, sorry, not so much. It's just the way it is to me.
We mentioned the Bengals are 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Packers are 4-1 right now. Kansas City are 5-1. Tampa are +750. And Tampa, you know, so Godwin's out for the year. Now they cut Antonio Brown after today's debacle. Tom Brady's a legend. Tom Brady's this and that. But I don't know if he can do this again. Yeah, especially like they don't have the top seed again. It's hard to go on the road. You know what I mean? It's Tampa are going to be in tough. Buffalo are 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. And Buffalo are kind of like Cincinnati in that, listen, Cincinnati are younger than Buffalo, but I don't think it matters, right? Ja'Marr Chase is unstoppable. I don't care if he's a rookie or not. It is what it is. And, you know, Josh, you just called it. You know, you said it, man. Like Josh Allen never won a national championship, right? Joe Burrow did. Burrow has played in big games and been successful, really successful. He seems to play better in big games. But the Bills are one of these teams, too, Babano. If they play well, they could beat anybody. But the thing is, they don't play well all the time, as we know, right? You know, they play well like 75% of the time. So that's the deal with Buffalo. But Buffalo are a dangerous team at 8-1 still right now. The Rams are +950, Babano. But I think you and I agree about Stafford. It's hard to trust them to win three games in a row. Tennessee are 12-1, and they could be getting Derrick Henry back as well, Babano, actually. Tennessee are dangerous. They're difficult to deal with.
They found a defense, too. I mean, that's always been the problem the last 2 years with Tennessee. I've never seen the Titans defense under Mike Vrabel, since he's been the head coach, look better than they've looked, I would say, the last month and a half. They've been consistently good. They've shut down opponents repeatedly. They have been a very, very good defense. Look, just ask Jimmy Garoppolo how good the Titans defense is last Thursday night with what they did with him. Look what they did to Tua today. It was not Tua time today. For the Miami Dolphins. This Tennessee defense is playing some excellent football, and they've allowed the Titans, with a depleted offense, with Julio Jones in and out, with Brown missing games earlier, with Derrick Henry out for several weeks, it's allowed the offense to still not feel like, you know, they've got to do a whole lot because they've got a defense they can rely on. And now there's rumblings, too. Derrick Henry might be back in the playoffs, and if that's the case for Tennessee, that's trouble for the AFC.
Well, that's why it's so paramount for them that they get a bye. That buys an extra week for Derrick Henry even, right? And the thing with Tennessee is, too, guys, Vrabel's won Super Bowls before. So as a player, Tennessee have been in some pretty big games over the last couple of years. They've been in the playoffs, and, you know, they've won some playoff games. I know as a Buffalo Bill fan, it's difficult to beat them in Tennessee. They find a way, this team, right? I mean, last year they crushed the Bills. This year they beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. So it's not, you know, it's not an easy stadium to go into and beat them, especially if they have Henry. And even if he's not at 100%, just having Henry opens things up for Tannehill. Thing we always talk about it, Babano, you and I, about peaking at the right time, right? You're going to the playoffs. You want to be peaking at the right time. And you look at Tennessee, you know, we thought, all right, did they peak too early? Well, they had that little sort of lull. And now they're getting hot again right now. And now they're a confident football team again right now. So I think they are peaking at the right time. But, you know, listen, you look at Buffalo. Buffalo are pretty confident now, too, Babano. After beating New England, they're in first place. They beat down the Falcons today. They should handle the Jets next week, and they're going to be the division winner.
No, exactly. And that's the thing with all of these teams. I think every single one of them in the AFC, Kansas City, remember when Cincinnati had that bad loss to the Jets, and then I think they lost a game after that. Every single one of these AFC contenders have had a rough patch, a little skid. You know, at some point during the season, the Bills did. The Bengals had one. Look at the Chiefs earlier this year. What was wrong with them?
Especially with an 18-game season, Babano, right? Or 17 games, but 18 weeks, excuse me. You know what I mean? 18 weeks. It's impossible to be, like, that consistent over 18 weeks.
Yeah. The Titans, remember, they went through a little funk, too, you know, just a little bit earlier in the year as well. Everybody did in the AFC. So it's all about, you know, trying to play better these last couple weeks and just playing your best football in a couple weeks from now when the playoffs begin. And every single one of them, I'm telling you, because I don't think there's that one dominant, clear-cut team. Even Kansas City on paper, you say maybe, but look at those defensive warts came back today against the Bengals that they had back in September and early October. So this thing's wide open, and it's going to be about who can execute at their best level.
The Packers seem like the best team.
Yeah.
right? I mean, and they're going to get home field advantage.
And even them, their run defense is still a little questionable, and their special teams has been awful at times. So
yeah, their special teams a little shaky. You're right. The punting and the field goal kick, I give you that. But the it's going to be hard to go in there, bro, especially if it's cold weather, right? Like, you look at these other teams. I know Tampa did it. Can they do it again? That's why, like, we talk about Stafford and the Rams.
I'm selling Tampa, Gabe, after what I saw today. That secondary got Jamel Dean back, Sean Murphy bunting back, and I didn't see improvement in that secondary. They made Zach Wilson look good, actually. 250 passing yards for Wilson today. The Jets were able to run the football a bit. They couldn't get stops against the Jets, and I don't think this defense, at least right now, unless I see the defense that late in the regular season last year in the playoffs show up again in a couple weeks when the playoffs start, if just based on what I'm seeing this year from that Bucs defense, not even close to that same defense we saw late in the season last year and in the playoffs.
You're right. And talk about peaking at the right time and all that type of stuff. They're not. I mean, you got Chris Godwin's out, Fournette's out, Antonio Brown's gone and not coming back. Surprisingly enough, they were fighting. It's funny, though, eh? You could have a fake vaccination card, and that's not enough to get cut. But walking off the field, that is. That is.
All right, throwing your jersey off? Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Hang in here, Ben. I want to get your thoughts on that other bowl game, the college football championship, and the NHL, what little NHL there actually is. The Late Night Anger Management Class, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Randy. Sunday, Bloody Sunday. We're breaking it down post-New Year style. Happy New Year to everybody tuning in. Ian Cameron throwing it down with us just for a couple of more moments. I want to talk about that Tuesday night bowl game. We got Kansas State and LSU. Just one game in the National Hockey League on Monday night, Babano. And, of course, we've got the national championship. There's been more line movement. Georgia are now up to 3 right now at FanDuel. So Georgia -3, total 52.5. We've got the Tuesday night bowl game, and it's always kind of awkward to have that one last bowl game like this, like in between the semifinals and the championship game. But as a better, as a college football fan, hey, the more football, the better. So we got LSU and Kansas State. We've got the other championship game, Montana State and North Dakota State, guys. We'll get to that. I don't know how many weeks these guys have been off for, man. They're really waiting forever. Seems like, really, there's been like a 2-week bye for these guys. And then so Georgia and Alabama. But let's start off with a Tuesday night game, Babano. Brian Kelly, of course, is the new coach of LSU, but he will not be coaching in this game. Their offensive line coach is coaching. And, you know, he's been there long enough that he should coach, Babano. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always find this ridiculous when these guys have been there forever and they're going to be in the damn stadium and stuff, right? Like, he's going to be there. He's going to be doing interviews and everything. But nevertheless, LSU, but man, LSU have had a lot of people quit, bro, after the coaching change. They are a pretty depleted team. I guess you could argue they have, you know, their backups could be better than K-State still. LSU do recruit the best. K-State lay 4.5 in the game, Babano. What's your early opinion right now on this one?
Oh, yeah, that's a ton of opt-outs. And the one that really matters to me is Tyrion Davis-Price. For LSU, the running back. He has been the catalyst of that offense all season long. He has been what's made it go. He's made the decision not to play. He's one of many opt-outs and slash injuries. Remember, Derek Stingley Jr., the top cornerback, got injured early in the year. There's a bunch of O-linemen that are opting out. There's a couple along the defensive line that aren't playing. So it is definitely a plethora of key starters, both sides of the ball for LSU that aren't going to suit up. And to me, this is just more of not a want-to thing, but a Kansas State team that's going to have a lot more at their disposal. And I don't know if there's a bigger upgrade at quarterback than going from Will Howard to Skylar Thompson. Whenever K-State didn't have Skylar Thompson, the offense was horrendous. But when they did have Skylar Thompson, suddenly they were a capable offense. They could move the ball. He's the best, you know, throwing quarterback they have. Skylar Thompson's going to play in this game for Kansas State. I think the money is correct on Kansas State, Gabe. I'm not going to be looking to bet LSU in this game. It would be Kansas State or nothing for me.
You know, it's crazy, too. LSU, they're going to play a quarterback, and it'll cost them a year of eligibility, right, for a game. Yeah. If he plays in the game. as you talk about it, I know you and I talk about the motivation and all this, but it's a little bit different when you fired a coach that was ultra popular, brought in a coach that, you know, a lot of kids didn't like and didn't want.
And they went all out for that finale for Ed Orgeron.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, Texas A&M game was a great spot to bet LSU. And it's sure enough, it came through. And you just wonder, where is that, you know, where's that spirit going to be on Tuesday night? I don't know if we'll see it.
This is the type of game, too, as you stated. It's to LSU, they're an influx. Their quarterback, Max Johnson, split as well. He's in the transfer portal. For LSU, it's just sort of a gap, bridge gap game. For K-State, it's a feather in the cap, right? You know, you go home, you say, we beat the team that won the championship 2 years ago, right? K-State, you're trying to build that trophy case. So I think the enthusiasm factor definitely will be on K-State's side. Not that LSU aren't talented still, but it seems like K-State are the play here. And also, I can't imagine, Babano, this game turns into a track meet. It's not like K-State's offense is explosive either. Total's 48.5 in this game. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern from Texan Stadium, where the Texans play in Houston.
Yeah, it seems it'll be an under. I would probably agree. Kansas State's certainly going to want it to be that way. And Kansas State runs the football a whole hell of a lot more than they throw the football. I mean, for the season, Kansas State on offense, 33 rushing attempts, just 23 passing attempts. So they're a run-heavy offense. LSU, by the way, giving up throughout the course of the year, 138 rushing yards per game, 4 yards per carry. And that's with their starters in there. Now you're going to have a depleted defensive line for LSU, having to stop this pretty solid run heavy attack for Kansas State. So Kansas State should move the ball, but it's going to be a slow pace. It's going to be run heavy, not exactly conducive to an over if that's the way you're looking in this game.
Ian Cameron to kick it with us. I am Gable Morenci. Sunday, bloody Sunday. So Babano, Georgia and Alabama, unfortunately, being a Michigan fan, it was disheartening to watch Georgia just gut us and beat the crap.
Something different. I was hoping for Cincinnati, Michigan too, but unfortunately they were both
Best
on the field. Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, let's see. You know, Georgia and Alabama are just next level, and Georgia have been knocking on the door for a couple of years now. And it's amazing, though. Alabama just beat them all the time, Babano, yet the oddsmakers just keep going back, right, to Georgia. And, you know, interesting, guys, that the number was 1 before the game, right? So FanDuel had the advanced number up, and it was Georgia -1 against Alabama if they both won before both semifinal games started. And the repost after was like 2, 2.5, yet now it's 3 right now, Babano. So people are buying and believing in Georgia once again. And I don't know. I mean, it's one thing. You can see, like, Georgia's seen to beat everybody up, but I don't know if they can beat Alabama.
So, you know what? Georgia, I know this is from just how much they badly want to beat Alabama. I mean, they're just dying to finally beat this team, and there'd be no better place to finally do it than in a national championship game. But having said all that, I have a difficult time saying, yeah, let's lay 3 with Georgia here. When Alabama has beat them up every single time, when the one problem with Georgia's defense consistently gets exploited by this Alabama team, and that's their inability to cover speed receivers down the field. That's the one flaw in this Georgia defense. We saw it in the SEC championship game. Now, I know this time around there's no John Metchie, but you got Slade Bolden, you've got Williams. You've still got more than enough receiving talent here for Alabama that's going to concern you and, you know, have you staying up all night, you know, if you're Kirby Smart trying to scheme a defense to shut this team down. I mean, they've still got plenty of talent in terms of receiving core. With Ja'Cory Brooks stepped up in the game against Cincinnati, Jameson Williams, like I said, Slade Bolden. There's still 3 really good receivers there, even without Metchie, that are going to maybe get... Look, Georgia has not been able to cover Alabama's receivers. They didn't in the SEC championship. They didn't last year when they played Alabama. They didn't 2 years ago in the SEC or in the national title game when Tua beat Georgia in overtime in that great game. What's going to change now? That's what I cannot get past when I see now Georgia laying 3 in this game. What is going to change for Georgia's defense when I've seen game after game Alabama's offense and their receivers torching the secondary? I know up front they're amazing. They can get after it. They stop the run. The defensive line is as good as it gets. But the secondary has repeatedly struggled to cover receivers down the field for Alabama each and every time they played them. What changes here? Right now I'm leaning Alabama with the field goal.
Ian Cameron kicking it with us, and I can't disagree with anything you're saying, and it's amazing because there was always so much talk about Harbaugh and Michigan not being able to beat Ohio State, but now Kirby Smart is in the same spot right now, right? It doesn't get talked about in the same way for
and
whatever
Gabe,
reason.
It kind of feels like it's his time. It's Georgia's time. It's his time. Much like you kind of felt that way with Michigan against Ohio State. It's time to finally beat Ohio State.
It's not now, when, right? I mean, yeah, you've got this team as good as this, but Babano, he's 0-4.
Yes.
So he's 0-4 against Saban.
And points here. Yeah.
Yeah. And Georgia haven't beaten Alabama since 2007.
Yep.
So the thing is, they don't play every year, right? So, but they have lost seven straight times to them. And the last time they beat Alabama was September 22nd, 2007. So that's 15 years ago. They beat them 15 years ago. And Kurt, this Georgia coaching staff, et cetera, these, because they played quite a bit recently in the SEC Conference Championship and in the championship game, as Babano mentioned, the 26-23 game. But they played four times, 2-2 against the spread. Alabama have covered the last two times. Georgia covered the first two times. But now they're laying points again. We'll have time. We'll break it down later in the week again, Babano. But as you stated, I'm with you. I already have a future play-in on Alabama, so I guess I could hedge as well. But I'm leaning with Bama right now. I don't trust Georgia laying the points. And they're a great team.
And one more thing, Gabe, about this game. You know,
they are, but it's just Bama own them. Nick Saban, it's hard to beat Nick Saban, yep, man. The guy's the best coach ever.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with any of that. And one more thing I'll throw out there. Last three meetings dating back to December 2018 in terms of this national title game from a total standpoint, the last three meetings, all of them into the 60s in total points scored. 63, 65, 65, of course, was 41-24, Alabama in the SEC championship game. I ain't betting this game under. In the low 50s, yeah, I ain't betting this game under. That's all I'll say about that.
All right, Babano, we got about a minute left, Babano. So one NHL game on Monday night is kind of tough. I know you love betting on NHL hockey. You break it down on the ice, guys. So there's just so many games canceled and postponed all the time, but they're going on, and they're just basically, it's like one game at a time, right? There's a couple of games on the board, you bet them. Sometimes there's a bunch of games. Sometimes there isn't. There's a couple of cancellations tomorrow. But we do, as of now, we've got the Edmonton Oilers at the New York Rangers.
Yeah, it's a red-hot team and an ice-cold team. Essentially, that's what you got here. The Oilers have not played well coming out of the Christmas break. They've lost three in a row, the Blues, the Devils, the Islanders. So they need a win in the worst way here. It's been a rough go for them. Really, the issues are very simple. It's the same issues Edmonton always has. When McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins don't score, who else does? They don't have depth scoring showing up consistently. Their defense has struggled a bit, although they did get Darnell Nurse back, which helps. And their goaltending, Mike Smith has not looked good since coming back from injury. That has hurt this Oilers team as well. Rangers are rolling. They've won two in a row, but they beat Tampa back-to-back games. They shut them out. It's a back-to-back for the Rangers. It's a rest. It's definitely a spot play. If you like Edmonton, it's a spot play. They've lost three in a row. They're a slight road dog. You know, sense of urgency because they got to play Toronto after this. They got to snap this losing streak. I think you'll get a good effort from Edmonton, but Rangers are the better team at the moment. It's a tough game, but what usually, even though the spot's in Edmonton's favor, I don't want to go against the surging team, and that's the Rangers right now. I think the game could go over the total. Look, I'm not going to overcomplicate it or overthink it. Five of the six games on Sunday went over. Saturday's games went over. A lot of overs. I think this one could be as well.
They've been playing over since sort of the mini shutdown. You're right. Ian Cameron, follow him on Twitter, @Babano. Thanks, Babano.
Thanks, Gabe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouth malcontent.
Great stuff with Babano, as always. Always good to get another opinion and perspective on things. I am Gable Morency, quickest 108 minutes in sports talk radio. This is Sports Rage. So Michigan goes down. I got to own it. We talked a lot about it going into the game. So it was extremely disappointing. It would not have been disappointing to lose the football game in a close fashion. Like, if Michigan would have lost 24-23, if Michigan would have lost, you know, 28-20, or, you know what I mean? If Michigan would have been competitive, but they weren't. That was the disappointing thing. And it's easy to say now, because during the week I got caught up in it, and, you know, I was feeling good about the game. But to be honest with you, I didn't like Harbaugh's last press conference that I saw. I guess it was on Thursday, the day before the game. I didn't like his press conference in which he basically said everything was great. Like, oh, that was great. This is great. The practice, everything was great. It reminded me almost like I brought it up last week of like a UFC fighter. I mentioned it actually before the game. I said, you know, you always hear every fighter talk about what a great camp they had, and then they get knocked the F out right away. So that's what sort of happened with the Buffalo, you know, with Michigan. Oh, talk about the Bills. Bills with Michigan. And I'm a Bills fan, and now that's my hope now that Michigan's gone. But, you know, you see them come in, and McNamara rolls in with the sunglasses and stuff. I don't know. They lost their edge, Michigan. They went from being the underdogs and scrappy to kind of cocky, and then you had Georgia, who were humbled in their last game, and Georgia were the hungrier team. For the record, you never know if this stuff is true, but I don't believe it not to be. In that somebody told me they were talking to a girl in Miami, and Michigan players were all over Tinder all week in South Beach when they rolled in there. So they were all over Tinder, and Georgia players were not. The Tinder score. Supposedly there was like, you know, a dozen Michigan players on Tinder all week trying to get laid in Miami, and there was only one Georgia player. So for whatever it's worth, I think they were a little bit distracted. And for whatever, somebody asked me what jersey I'm wearing, actually, speaking of the Bills, so I got distracted. Somebody asked me, they can't see the number. It's 14, and it's Stephon Diggs. So it's a Diggs jersey, for the record. Somebody asked me earlier, I wanted to respond to you, but we had Babana on. Yeah, so as far as Michigan is concerned, I got to tell you, it was disappointing that they got their ass handed to them in every facet of the game. And let's just call it off what it is. And I'm a big Harbaugh guy. I like Harbaugh. I never want to fire Harbaugh. But Harbaugh got his ass handed to him by Kirby Smart. We all did, like Michigan as a whole, right? Well, I say we. I'm a fan. I'm not responsible for the coaching. But like I said, if Michigan would have won, I would have talked a lot of smack after. So, you know what I mean? I got to admit, hey, we got our ass handed to us. And not just our ass handed to us. Like I said, you know what it reminded me? It reminded me of, like, the bad Michigan team from a couple of years ago. And I was like, what the hell is this? In which they were just so not prepared for anything. Like really, like, everything Georgia did, man. Like, Michigan had no answer for it. You know what I mean? Like, basically, every player on Michigan played the worst game of their careers, like, in this game. Like, collectively, like, everybody. Right? It was just, everybody was bad. The defense was what surprised me the most. And I think it rattled the offense that the defense was getting crushed. Because, you know, they sort of hang their hat on the defense, and it's like, whoa. Our defense can't stop them, and the wheels just fell off early, and like I said, I don't like calling Harbaugh out, but look, it's 7-0 in the football game early, all right? So Georgia, get the ball, whatever. Georgia, Michigan defer, which was mistake number one, right? So mistake number one was, you know, Michigan wins the coin toss, and they decided to defer. Georgia called it, they lost, and then Michigan deferred. Georgia just go right down the field immediately, like boom, 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 touchdown, right? Like absolutely, like no resistance from Michigan. And, like, massive holes, and, like, Michigan were just discombobulated. And we were on the air during the game, and we were talking about it. You can see Michigan's defensive line were, like, yelling at each other all the time. Like, they were out of position. They were like, yo, go here. No, you're there. And, like, they were confused. Like, all night. They were confused all night. And that's just coaching. Like, what the hell happened? Like, what the hell did you guys do in Miami all week? You know what I mean? So that was, like, just frustrating how, like, just out of position everybody was. I don't even blame the players. It was sort of like years ago, I didn't blame the players. I did blame Harbaugh, Don Brown, and the coaching staff, because it's not like Aiden Hutchinson's calling the plays, guys. It's not like Ojabo's calling the plays. It's college, all right? They're only setting up and lining up where they're being told to set up. And clearly there was confusion all the damn time. That's on the coaching staff. Like I said, they're college players. You think that they're calling the plays? No. They're setting up the scheme that they're being told to. And clearly it wasn't working. And it didn't work all damn night. So it's 7-0. And then Michigan get the ball. And if you recall, whatever, it was a quick three, you know what I mean? It was a little bit choppy and stuff. And then McNamara ran for like, you know, a first down. I think it was like Michigan's best play of the night, pretty much. Right? So McNamara ran for a first down. Anyways, if you recall, like, Michigan decided to go for it on the 49-yard line of Georgia's 49-yard line when it was 7-0. And what was it? It was like fourth and four, fourth and five or something, fourth and six. I think it was fourth and six, actually. And it decided to go for it. It's like, why? You're on the 49-yard line. Like, you're playing right into Georgia's hands by giving them a short field. That's what they do. That's what they want to do because of their defense. Like, the strength of the Georgia Bulldogs, their damn defense, and what, you're going to try to mess with them early in the game and just piss them off? And, you know, of course it wasn't, you know, and they gave the ball to them, and then boom, Georgia scores again. That's on Harbaugh for overreacting and panicking early. And I don't know what the hell it is with the Harbaugh brothers, and John's been doing it too. With the Ravens all year, going for it. I mean, the guy went for it on his own 25-yard line against the Packers, right? And it led to a field goal, and the game, you know, ends up being a one-point game after, right? Like, it's just, like, I don't. Why would you do that? Like, why would you go for it if you're Michigan? It just showed, like, panic. It was 7-0, so what? It's 7-0. Rely on your defense, punt the ball, pin Georgia, and play defense. No, you go for it. You give them a short field. Like, two plays later, it's 14-0. And then the game's pretty much over. Yeah, it was very disappointing, Matthias. You know, just how unprepared they were, and the Harbaugh, you know, going for it early and just sort of panicking early, and the Michigan players just being so listless. Like I said, they played their worst game of the year. And it was like the worst game of these guys' careers, all of them. It just, you know, I hate to use the word choke, but they choked. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't lose, bro. They choked. Like, they could not have played any worse, bro. It's as simple as that. Let's just call it out for what it is.
I love the play that you brought out when they went for it on fourth and four. I thought that was a game changer. I thought exactly what you said. You played right into Georgia's hands. And I think it kind of sucked the life out of Michigan once Georgia scored again.
It did.
And they couldn't stop them. You could tell that the offense was rolling and Michigan didn't have an answer back. And
I thought, bro, you punt the ball and maybe something happens. You punt them, you pin them, you come up with a stop. Like, and Harbaugh panicked early by going for it. He just said, dude, it was the 49-yard line, Matthias. It wasn't like it was the 29 or the 26 or something. You know what I mean? It was like the four. You're giving the ball to Georgia at midfield, bro. Like, why would you want to do this?
Overconfidence, Gabe, and wanting to slap somebody back after getting hit in the face. You know, I think that, like you said, Harbaugh panicked, yep, and he got too aggressive, and he messed it up.
Yeah, it's like a UFC fighter, bro. It's like a UFC fighter losing the first round and just swinging for a knockout right to start the second round. It's like, bro, chill out, all right? Like, just chill out. You're down a round. It's all good. Don't panic. Like, there was no need to panic, right? And let's be real as well. McNamara was bad. Right? McNamara, like, you know, like, McNamara was very good this year. Like I said, I feel bad throwing, because they had a great year, right? And it's the whole thing, too. Like, Harbaugh did what he was supposed to do. He beat Ohio State. And you always hear people, oh, if you beat Ohio State, doesn't matter what happens after that or whatever. You could go 1-11, you beat Ohio State. So he beat Ohio State and he beat Iowa. They won the Big Ten. So, like, the season was not a disappointment. It's too bad the way that it ended, but it's gonna be too bad for the way that it ends for Alabama or Georgia next week too. That's the way it goes. But it was just frustrating the way how bad it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were just not in it from like the first play. The game was over basically as soon as the kickoff happened.
Well, you identified the problem with Harbaugh. You know, I feel bad for the guys because they weren't put in a position to really compete in the second half, and that's because the game was so far out of reach, it felt like, you know, just because the offense wasn't rolling whatsoever.
And Michigan can't come back and defense, they have to pass. That's the thing.
The Lions were kind of getting manhandled in the beginning. I think Michigan wasn't able to protect very well,
yes,
which really threw off McNamara. And then Hutchinson was running around from sideline to sideline, and you could tell that he was gassed. You know, gassed, and Georgia had a great game plan.
Yeah, and you know what? With Hutchinson, though, think about it, bro. He went to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, right? He goes to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. He does a million interviews. He's, like, going to be the top pick in the NFL draft. Everything changed. You know, like, the whole Bo Schembechler speech, the team? Like, they didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? You'll play for this, you'll play for that. You're telling me that Ajabo and you're telling me that Hutchinson weren't talking about the NFL and stuff? right? That they're, you know what I mean? Like, just everything. Harbaugh was the rock star for the last couple of weeks. They bought their own press clippings. And the whole thing is, like, it was a collective. You know what I mean? It was the coaching staff. It was the players. We can blame everybody except the band, right? Like, it wasn't the band's fault. But it just is. Another thing is Georgia was better. And it's a good point you just stated about the offensive line. They got pushed around early. And I think it sort of exposed McNamara in a sense that I think McNamara is one of these quarterbacks, like an NFL quarterback, that if he has protection, Mathias, which he did, he only got sacked like 9 times this year, right? So, like, if he had protection, he can make plays. But he was running for his life, and then he was like, you know, he wasn't as accurate as he normally was. And let's be real, too, the wide receivers weren't getting open. Georgia just schooled them, right? Georgia was just one of those, like, old-fashioned beatdowns. But like I said, man, that's sports, right? Georgia got humbled 3 weeks ago, and it helped them. I think that's there's a lot to be said for that, Mathias, right? Georgia came into this game as a hungry, like, I'm not, you know, they were favorites, but they were like a hungry dog, literally, like a Georgia Bulldog. They were hungry. They wanted the rematch with Bama. They were focused as hell. They were embarrassed last, you know, in the SEC Conference Championship game. Kirby Smart's not job on the line, but his reputation was on the line here. And now it still is again. They were just, and you get Michigan, Mathias, who are being told how great they are for the last couple of weeks. Oh, you beat Ohio State, you beat Iowa, you guys are amazing, and great recruiting class. Georgia were just a hungrier team, bro, and you could see it from the onset. They were all business, bro, Georgia. Like, you notice, like, when Georgia scored early, they didn't really even celebrate. They were kind of like, nah, man, we've got a job to do here. Like, they really were focused, man, that team. I give them credit. Doesn't mean I think they're going to beat Alabama. And I haven't made my pick yet in this game. I already have a future on Alabama, so we'll figure out how to approach it. But we got to give them credit. As far as Cincinnati is concerned, Cincinnati, just their offense. Their defense played with Bama. Their defense made Bama work for it. But very similar to the Washington Huskies in the playoffs a few years ago, their offense couldn't do anything. And that's what happened with Cincinnati. Their defense stepped up. Their offense just could not move the ball. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One thing with Michigan is, as well, they pissed Ohio State off, right, as well. So now they pissed, and you saw, like, basically Ryan Day right after the Rose Bowl was like, we got a lot of work to do, and, like, we're focused. We don't like what happened, like, in the last game we played. And he talked about it, about being depressed. He said our guys were depressed after the, you know, the last. He didn't talk about it by name. I don't think they mentioned Michigan by name. I think that's their thing. Said, you know, we know what happened before, and, you know, it was lingering with us and stuff. So it was good to get this win, and really excited about next year. I can just read between the lines. Yeah, really excited to try to kill Michigan next year, right? I think that's what he was saying. I actually saw Michigan's schedule for next year, and it's very, very manageable. It's like extremely manageable. Like I said, Michigan have a chance to actually sort of be right in the mix again. And in fact, they've set it up like their non-conference schedule. So they play like 4 straight home games. They host Colorado State. They host Hawaii. You like that, Mathias? They're hosting Hawaii. They host UConn. So you see, they set this up. And then they host Maryland. All right, so they're going to be 4-0. And then they go to Iowa, which could be a very winnable game for them. They host Penn State. They seem to own Penn State for whatever reason. They more often than not, they beat Penn State. They host Nebraska. They go to Michigan State again, which is annoying because of the stupid COVID and stuff, whatever. But they play Michigan State. That's always a toss-up. They host Illinois. They get a bye week versus Indiana at Rutgers at Ohio State. Like, seriously, I look at his schedule. I'm like, damn. Like, Michigan, like, really? There's no reason why Michigan shouldn't be 10-1 going into that Ohio State game. All right, we got a lot of time to break that down. Thanks to all of our guests. Other than that, you're on your own. Late.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep